Okay, here's what we're going to do. At least this week and possibly next week, as long as it's just whatever it takes us on this little study. I think it's going to be kind of fun. I'm calling this study Refuge, Redeemer, Avenger. It's talking about Christ as our refuge, as our Redeemer, and as an Avenger. We'll talk about what that means. So here's what you want to do. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. We're going to look really at a little special study from the Old Testament. We can see a number of truths and pictures. In fact, when you think about the Old Testament, there's so much there. You know, the Bible says that the Old Testament was written for our instructions. When we look in the Old Testament, there are a lot of pictures dealing with Jesus Christ and our Savior. And one of the great things about the Word of God, that it all fits together perfectly. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. Have you ever realized that in Egypt, do you remember when, what was the last plague? I just want you to think about this. What was the last plague? When they were in slavery in Egypt, what was the very last plague? Death of the what? Firstborn. So all the firstborn belonged to who? To God, really, because he came through and took them, all right? Except the firstborn that had the blood on the door. So when they come out and they get ready to be a nation, God says all firstborn sons belong to who? To him. Firstborn all belong. That's why firstborn was the special one in the family. So everything fits together when you look at it. The Old Testament often foreshadows the New Testament. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So much of the Old Testament points to the New Testament and fulfillment in Christ. This morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start, and I don't know if we'll finish it or not. This morning, we want to focus on two things. We're going to see what I call the cities of refuge. And there are six cities of refuge. That's in Joshua chapter 20. We're going to talk about the cities of refuge and how that fits to Christ. And then we're going to see the Goel. That's a Hebrew word, G-O-E-L. Sometimes pronounced Gael. Sometimes even spelled G-O-A-L. But most time it's G-O-E-L. It's the idea of kinsman avenger and kinsman redeemer. In other words, the next of kin who's an avenger, the next of kin who's a redeemer. And we'll see how that fits together. In fact, all of that really is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we'll see how it fits. So there's a lot there. Let's start with a prayer and then we'll get into it. And as always, if you have questions, comments, just stop me. We'll talk through it. If it takes us a couple of weeks, that's fine. We'll just be putting together whatever study you want so that we'll be ready when that comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great, great passage and great study. Thank you, Lord, as we think about Jesus Christ, as we think about the cities of refuge, we think about the Goel and the fact that there's the kinsman redeemer and a kinsman avenger and how all these things fit together. Lord, we thank you for the Bible and how perfect it is. And Lord, we need a redeemer, and we thank you that Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And we thank you, Lord, that we need a place of refuge, and we thank you that Jesus Christ is our refuge. And so, Lord, as we study this for the next week or two, whatever, Lord, may we have a great time as we look over it, as we put it together, and we think of these great truths. Most of all, Lord, thank you for Jesus, who indeed is the Savior, who died and rose again and gives eternal life as a gift. Teach us now, Lord. We ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, when you're little, it was a game. We just tag. You know, you got tagged, but there was always a place that if you could run to a place, it was base. It was the place that you were safe. And it was really the place of refuge. That's what it was. In the Old Testament, this sounds a little bit funny, but in the Old Testament, there was something similar to base. It was a place of refuge. It was a much more serious subject. When a person was involved in a death, they could run to a particular city called cities of refuge, cities of safety, and they could go there and be safe and protected from what they call the Gael, or the Goel. We'll talk more about it. Who is the Goel? The Goel was the kinsman redeemer or the kinsman avenger. Now, not every time when there was a death involved was a person protected. And we'll say, well, why? Why? Sometimes were they protected, sometimes they weren't. Who made the decision? How did it work? And how long did the person have to stay in the city to be protected? How does all that fit? And we'll look at it as we go through. There's a lot there. As we look at this passage and we think about the cities of refuge and the Gael or the kinsman redeemer, kinsman avenger, we're going to find it's really a picture of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have a lot of fun as we go through this. We learn. We want to make application. There are a lot of things found in the Bible that sometimes are hard to put together. I mean, that's just the way it is. But it helps if you understand the culture. A lot of times, especially when you're studying the Old Testament or even the very first century, when you look at it, you see things that happened and you go, I don't get that. And then when you understand the culture, you go, oh, that makes sense. Now I know why they did that or why they said that, those kind of things. as we study the Old Testament, we need to understand God's word so we can understand how things fit together, understand about the nation of Israel and all those kind of things. In this study, we're going to look at, in a sense, what's written in the scripture, but it deals with how they looked at life. It was refuge and guile. And both foreshadow Jesus Christ. In fact, it's a type of Christ. Now, here's the first question is this. What exactly is a type? Okay? Because when we think of type, type means like something else. You know, a type of something, say, that looks just like that, okay? A type is a person or a place or an event in the Old Testament that foreshadowed something in the New Testament. We'd say, this happened here, and this was a foreshadow of something that was going to happen here. Now, what we find is, well, we usually think about a type of Christ. In other words, something in the Old Testament that foreshadowed Christ or foreshadowed what Christ was going to do. I mean, so we usually think of a type as a type of Christ. In fact, some people say, now that's a type of Christ. And people would look at you, you would look at somebody and say, what is he talking about? A type is something in the Old Testament that usually was a picture or something of something in the New Testament, most likely or many times a type of Christ. Let me give you an example. Here's one. The Passover lamb. The Passover lamb is really a type of Christ. When God told the Jewish people to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, and then on the 14th day of the month to sacrifice that lamb, put the blood on the door, that Passover lamb would be, by faith in the Passover lamb and the blood put on the door, they would be delivered from bondage of Egypt and from death. The blood of the lamb. And that's exactly what they did. They killed the Passover lamb, put the blood on the door on the 14th day of the month. Passover, as it was called, God came through, killed all the firstborn, and the Jewish people came out, and they were delivered by the Passover lamb. Well, in the future, what is it? Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. In fact, 1 and 2 Corinthians both call Jesus our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. What day did Jesus Christ die on? What day did Jesus Christ die on? He died on Passover. He's the Passover lamb. His blood was shed for us. By faith in Jesus Christ and the shed blood of our Savior, we are delivered from the bondage of death and sin. In the same way that the Passover lamb delivered the Jewish people out of Egypt, we're delivered from sin and death. Jesus is our Passover lamb. That's a type. Here's another one. Melchizedek. Most people don't know who he is. They get all confused. But in Genesis, Abraham is coming back from a battle. This king priest. A king priest from the city of Salem, which is also another name for Jerusalem. He came out and met Abraham, and Abraham gave a tenth to him. His name was Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness. Melech means king, Zedek means righteousness. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. He is also king of Salem. He was a priest and a king, and to which Abraham gave offerings to. Melchizedek is a picture of a type of Christ, because Jesus Christ is a king and a priest. Where is his city that he will rule as king priest? Jerusalem, which is the same as Salem, and all the people worship him, and he is a king priest, but his priesthood is not from the tribe of what? Levi, because he's from the tribe of Judah, but his priesthood, according to the book of Hebrews, is after the order of Melchizedek. So what you see is this man who's mentioned one time, you know, in the Bible right there, and he's mentioned in the book of Psalms a little bit, but he mentioned, you see him one time, he comes in and leaves, and because who was that guy? His name was Melchizedek. He's a type of Christ. That's what we see. Well, the Bible is full of things. If, I'm not saying we're going to study this because I don't know what you're going to put down. If we were to study the Feast of Israel, every one of the feasts are type of Christ, every one of them. Everything has to, it points to what Jesus is going to do. Because the feast days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover and First Fruits and Trumpets and all those have to do with Christ and what he's going to do. They're all types of Christ. So whether we do that or not, that's just another thing. Now, as we look this morning at the cities of refuge and the Goel, they're both types of Christ. And we're going to see how this fits together. Well, let's begin with the cities of refuge, okay? And in Genesis 9:6, if you remember this, it said this, if a man sheds another man's blood, he's supposed to be put to death. It's called capital punishment. In Genesis 9:6, after they came off of the ark, that's what he told them. Now, we're talking about murder. We're talking about a person on purpose killing somebody else. In fact, if you get on into Romans 13, it says that the government's responsibility is to punish evildoers. And it says it does not bear the sword in vain, meaning they're you know, when people say, is the death penalty okay? Yes, it is okay. Yes, it is. So, a human life is very, very valuable. Let me show you something. You ever thought of this? In that day and time, what if you were walking through the field and all of a sudden you came upon a dead body and you saw there's a person dead? First of all, you don't want to touch it. You know why? Because if you touch it, you're what? You're unclean if you're Jewish, so you don't want to touch a dead body. But you say, hey, there's somebody dead. There's somebody dead. And so the officials, the elders from the closest city or whatever city you think is the closest, comes out and they go out and they go, yes, that's a dead person. Yes, you're exactly right. But, okay, well, who killed this person? What happened to this person? We don't know. So this life is so valuable, there has to be consequences. And so, if it was out in the field, what they would do is actually measure to whatever city was the closest city. They'd say, okay, y'all go, okay, that city's over there. You measure and see how far it is. We'll measure and see. The closest city took responsibility for the death of the person, and they offered special sacrifices because a life is valuable, every life. Now, what if you were angry with someone and you got into a fight and you said, I'm going to kill you, and you kill them? What's supposed to happen to you according to Genesis 9:6? You're supposed to die. What if you were chopping wood, a couple of guys chopping wood, and you go like this and the axe thing comes off and hits your brain right in the head and kills him? He's just as dead as if you'd have said, I'm going to kill you, right? What do you do on that? How does it work? Well, let me explain something. We're going to see these cities of refuge. Under the Mosaic Law, it said eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What did that mean? That means if somebody hit you, you got to do what? Hit them. Somebody stole your sheep. Actually, you had to pay back fourfold on that kind of stuff because it was animals. What if they knocked out your tooth? What'd you do? What if they poked out your eye? What could you do? Poke out their eye. Now, some people say, that's weird. No. It's called retribution, but here's the deal. There's a reason why he said eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, because if somebody hit you, you're going to knock them down. And so if somebody hit you in the face, you're going to knock out all their teeth. And if somebody poked at your eye, you're going to try to kill them, because we have a tendency to escalate everything. So he said, no, you can't escalate. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. What if there is a death? I'm chopping wood, and it hits my friend, and he kills him. And I go, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I just killed this guy. I didn't mean to do it. I promise you, I didn't mean to do it. It swung off and hit the guy in the head. And so what am I supposed to do? I was supposed to say, I didn't mean to do it. It was that. You know, were they going to kill me? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. What happens? Well, what does the law say? When a person murdered, when there was a death, there was the next of kin called the guile, which were called kinsman redeemer, or kinsman avenger. They had two different responsibilities. If you were the kinsman avenger, if somebody killed somebody in your family, you had the right to kill them. Because what did the law say? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You killed them. So you had the right to catch them. They're running. They're running for their life. Go get them. I'm going to get them. I'm going to track this guy down. I'm going to kill him. Because he killed my cousin. Okay, or whatever. Now, this role was also called the kinsman redeemer. That's the book of Esther. We'll talk more about that. Not the book of Esther, book of Ruth, in which someone is able to come alongside a relative and pay money and redeem them and take care of them. So this responsibility was twofold, kinsman avenger, kinsman redeemer. All right, now, what happens in an accidental death? Because we'd all say, the guy didn't mean to kill him. Is he just supposed to die too? Well, notice Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, designate the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses. He says, I want you to designate certain cities. Okay, they call cities of refuge. Now, think about this. Let's say you accidentally kill somebody. Where are you supposed to go? To a city of refuge. Now, watch what he says. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, designate the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally without premeditation may flee there, and they shall become your refuge from the avenger of blood. That's the kinsman avenger. If it's accidental, if you didn't mean to kill somebody, it wasn't premeditated, it was an accident, where are they supposed to go? Verse 4, he shall flee to one of these cities, and he shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and state his case in the hearing of the elders of that city. And they shall take him into the city to them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Now, he comes up there, and in a sense, he tells them, here's my case. I was out chopping wood. The axe thing came off, hit the guy in the head. I didn't mean to do it, but I've got here to the city before the guy got to me. What if the guy all got to him before he got to the city? He better have on some good running shoes, right? Because if he didn't get there, he didn't get there. Okay? So he says they take him into the city. Now watch this. Now if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor without premeditation. He did not hate him beforehand. Okay? So if you accidentally kill somebody, you could run to one of these cities. You go to the gate of the city where the elders are, and you say, here's what happened. I was out chopping wood, hit the guy in the head. Guy's on the way. I know he's coming, and I need some help. And so he gets there. Then the guy comes up and says, there's a guy in here. He killed my cousin. I'm supposed to get him. And they said, sorry. They check out the facts. They check it out. They make sure. I mean, you can't always tell her, but they check the thing out because a guy could just lie and they find out what happened. And let me tell you, if the guy was a murderer, you know what they did? What do you think they did? They turned him over. Exactly right. So just because you got to the city of refuge didn't mean you were safe if you kill somebody intentionally. This is unintentional. Is that the bail already? That can't be the bail already. Okay, anyway, here we got to at least get a little further than this. Now, if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor without premeditation and did not hate him beforehand. Watch this. He shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the one who is the high priest in those days. Then the manslayer may shall return to his own city and to his own house, to the city from which he fled. Here's the question. How long does the guy have to stay in the city? Until the death of the high priest. He better hope he's old when this happens, because you're not going back home. Now you may say, I'm not going back home. Said, you kill somebody. A life is valuable. There are consequences, even if it was an accident. What do we call it today? Manslaughter. People go to jail for manslaughter. There are consequences when you accidentally do something. You take a life. You said, I didn't mean to run over that person. Well, you still did. You know. And so it says, you go to the city and you stay in the city until the death of the high priest. Wow. And so he's going to list some of the cities. Look at verse 7. So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the city of Ephraim, and Kiriath-Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, beyond the Jordan, on the east side of Jericho. They dedicated Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, and Rabbath and Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. You ever heard of the Golan Heights? That's Golan. Now, I just so happen to have a map right here, and you see the six cities of refuge. See where they are? Now, there's Jerusalem, which is the capital. And Israel is divided into two sections at this time. There was the Jordan River going down the middle. There were tribes on the east side. There were tribes on the west side. So the cities of refuge were fixed this way. If you notice, there's sort of one in the south, one in the middle, one in the north. Now, the Golan and Rabbath are a little bit close together, but Golan's, of course, where mountains are and stuff. So wherever you lived, if you lived on the east side of the Jordan, there were three cities you could run to. If you lived on the west side of the Jordan, there were three cities you could run to or cross over, whatever you thought. You just said, I'm going to go to the closest city that I can get to. Hebron, Bezer, Shechem, Rabbath, Golan, Kadesh. There they are. And then, of course, I got Jerusalem there because that's the capital. I just wanted you to see it. That's how he set it up. He set it up, and God told him, here's the cities that you map out. so that you can know. The verse 9, they were appointed cities of the sons of Israel, and for the strangers who sojourn among them, that whoever kills any person unintentionally may flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stands before the congregation. Now, notice what this is, the next slide. That these cities of refuge are actually a type of Christ. Have we done wrong? Have we done wrong intentionally? Yes. Have we done wrong unintentionally? Yeah. Sometimes they're called sins that couldn't help it, right? And the Old Testament had sins that you did not premeditate. You ever heard of a presumptuous sin? You know what a presumptuous sin is? That's a sin that you know it's wrong and you plan to do it anyway. That's why David said, please keep me from presumptuous sins. I mean, don't we do things wrong that we didn't plan to do wrong? We're going along and the sin, the flesh, that temptation, and we go, oh, I can't believe I did that again. Okay? We've all done it, right? We all owe God what? The wages of sin is death. We all owe God death. What are we running to? We got to run to Him. Run to Jesus. Remember that song? Flee to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the refuge. Listen. On top of the fact that He could be the refuge for the sins that we do unintentionally, what about the sins we do intentionally? He died in our place. He says, you know what? There's going to have to be a death here because the soul that sins shall what? Die, and the wages of sin is death. And even though they're unintentional and even though they're intentional, there has to be a death. And so not only is Jesus the refuge, He is the one who took our place as well. Hebrews 7:25. Let me read this to you. You will love this. If I can find it. Is that Old Testament or New Testament? Okay, isn't it Hebrews 7:25? 24 says, Jesus, on the other hand, He continues forever with a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. We come for safety. Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. He is our Savior. Matthew 1:21, you shall call Him Jesus because He shall save His people from their sin. Where do you go for safety? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. Psalm 46:1, He is our refuge and strength and shield. He is the fulfillment of the cities of refuge. Aren't you glad that in the midst of a world in which you have sinned and you owe God death, you have a place to flee? And that's Jesus Christ. That's why He always talks about taking you under the shelter of His arms and His wings and come to Him for protection. And that's why He's the strength and the shield. And He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our Savior. Now, I know the time is up. We're halfway through because what's the second part of this whole thing? Kinsman Avenger and Kinsman Redeemer. And we're going to see how Jesus fits that next time. And so we've seen the cities of refuge. I want you to see the Gaal. Because the first part of the Gaal is the Avenger. And sometimes they got to the people, sometimes they didn't. If it was not premeditated, we always hope the person made it to the city. Now, what if, let me tell you this, I know time is up. What if you're in the city, you're safe, and before the high priest dies, you decide that you will leave and go back home, or you will leave and go to another city? You could be hunted down if you step outside that door. There is a story of Joab, and my mind's blank on the guy, but this guy, I can't remember his name, but he accidentally, in a battle, killed Joab's brother. And Joab waited for a long time, and he got him to come out of the city, and at the gate of the city, Joab said, can I speak to you for a minute? And the guy came out, and he pretended to drop his sword. He went, oh, I dropped my sword. And his friend stood right beside him and he picked the sword up and stabbed him and killed him. He said, that's for killing my brother. He was still wrong. He was still wrong because that wasn't a premeditated death. It was an accident. I mean, it was in a war. And war back killing didn't count that way. And that's why David came back and said, you a bad man for killing him. And removed him from some positions of authority. I know, time's up. Okay, we'll get to more next time. Heavenly Father, thanks for the passage. Thanks for the cities of refuge and the kinsman redeemer and the Goel and the kinsman avenger and all of these things. Lord, we thank you the fact that we have a Redeemer, and we have a place of refuge, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand it. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.